Can you hear us? Let me turn this on. You can hear us now, though, right? Can you hear? All right, I don't know what it is wrong with that microphone. I got it plugged into the mixer. Somehow. I'm just going to get out of the other one. The other radio show this week. Where are we singing first? Victory? Or More About Jesus? And then Draw Me Nearer. I want you to sing really loud. What? Are they in the room? Number 16. Ouch. Oh, man. I think I dislocated the toe. No, it's not. Number 69 is not. Number 21 isn't either. So neither one of these are in the room. So More About Jesus is first.
More about Jesus, what I know. More of His grace than others show. More of His pain and fullness see. More of His love who died for me. More and more about Jesus. More and more about Jesus. More of His saving for mercy. More of His love who died for me. More about Jesus, let me learn. More of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ in me. More and more about Jesus. More and more about Jesus. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me. More about Jesus in His word. Holy communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful same line. More and more about Jesus. More and more about Jesus. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me. More about Jesus on His throne, riches and glory all His own. More of His kingdom sure increase, more of His coming Prince of Peace. More and more about Jesus. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me.
Right. I am thine, O Lord, or draw me near. Either way, I don't know how you call this one.
What is this?
You know, they're a different number. Nope. I don't see it. Could be.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and hold thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, precious Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to Thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in Thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of the single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer, it would be like a communion friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
If you can kneel, please do so, because we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the promises that are in your word. We thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We thank you that that which you have called us to do, you will help to finish it before the end. And we thank you for bridling our tongue, or any tongue that speaks, this day, so that only you are glorified. We thank you for forgiving us of our sins, another promise, and for blessing us with eternal life. We thank you for the promise that your Son and you are coming back with your to join with us in your spirit to take us home soon. And we know your spirit is there with you everywhere in the entire universe. It's not just here. We thank you, Father, for the way you keep us and bless us with the courage to continue the fight. Even though we don't lift hands against others and weapons or anything, this fight is yours. And we also understand the other promise, that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You will repay. So thank you, Father, for being merciful towards those that come against us, because we want them to be part of the family too. And thank you for blessing us, those of us that have gathered here this Sabbath day, with an understanding of the truth as it is revealed in your word and in our lives. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to do a quick praise before we start. Last night, as everybody knows, I was having a little bit of problem with coughing because of, you got a little bug running around here in the house and decided to settle into my lungs. So I had a little bit of a cough. First time I've been sick in 5 or 6 years. I don't know, maybe 10 years for all I know. Pia Jane fell out. Okay, hold on. Whoa. First time I ever seen a fallout like that. That almost shut the server down. But everybody's in here, right? Yeah, everybody's here. Hold on a second here. Let me get... back in. I'll use a browser. That way it'll go in the right way. But as I'm doing this, I want to share... with what the Lord did. Well, for some reason, the browser won't open. Well, there it goes. It's trying to do something. But anyway, last night I could not, you know, get to sleep because of the, you know, the coughing and stuff like that. And so 2:47 a.m., I happen to look at the clock. It's like, whoa, I got to preach tomorrow. And so I went into prayer. But I had already prayed earlier. And I reminded the Lord of a blessing that he had given me many years ago where I had this bad toothache. And I just remembered about this morning about a burn that I had, too. Where it was like in the middle of the night, I had this throbbing toothache because the next day I was going to get the tooth pulled out or something. Couldn't get to sleep. It was like boom, boom, boom. You know, it was just banging. It's just like in the head and you can't get to sleep, right? So I said, Father, is it not written in your word that your children will be blessed with sweet sleep? And then boom. It was just, the pain was gone instantly, right? And I went to sleep. And then years later, I had this burn on my fingertips. Three or four fingertips had these, like, they looked Mickey Mouse fingers. They were just swelled up, all burned up, right? And again, couldn't get to sleep. Just throbbing and throbbing and throbbing. And so, you know, and his Father, you know, is it not, you know, didn't you not do this for me with the toothache years ago? And then, boom, pain was gone. I was able to go to sleep that fast, instantly. And the same thing happened last night. I was coughing and coughing and coughing, could not stop coughing. And so I went into prayer, and I reminded him about the toothache, and then, boom, the tickle in my throat was gone instantly. So I was able to go to sleep. And then when I woke up, I started coughing again a little bit, and that's because, physically speaking, I need to cough to get whatever's out, you know? So I wanted to praise his name for that. It really amazes me how he does that. I seem to have a little bit of a problem coughing when I'm laying down. Sitting up, I don't cough as much. So, yeah, let me see. That's locked in. Thanks, Bonnie. Okay, my notes are in. Okay, so without any further ado, this is a first part of four parts so far. I don't know how long I'm going to go with this. I'm going to do the second part next week. I may do the third part the week after, but I got a feeling the Lord's going to lead me into doing something else. And if he does, fine, because I want to break it up a little bit. I don't want to concentrate on Ellen White for 4 or 5 weeks in a row. And I want to make a website about it. I'm making a webpage about this particular topic because it needs to be done. Because lately, it says, lately some have approached the brethren with all sorts of claims that Ellen White was not only a plagiarist, but a false prophet to boot. And some have even gone so far as to state that they don't believe she's a prophet, but they do see her as blessed in biblical knowledge. Okay? And this is, of course, their prerogative, you know, and we're not to judge them for it. You know. So the Lord will, you know, bless as he blesses. And so, and some are honest in heart and simply await a thus saith the Lord, while others seek a way to put her down out of sheer hatred of Christianity. While still others claim her to be a false prophet because of something they've read in her writings that literally convicted them of a sin that they're committing. And since she's not accepted in Christendom worldwide, as is the Bible, they feel, well, claiming her a false prophet will make their sin seem less offensive in some way. And that, so they'll do that, you know. In any event, I have grown weary of the emails, the phone calls, and all the websites that are out there that question this woman's prophetic gift. In the same way that the Jews to this day still question Daniel, the prophet. For the truth is, the enemy of souls needs people to look at Ellen White as a false prophet because her writings have literally hundreds of ways to teach the people using Scripture on how to best prepare for the coming trials in the last days. She makes it pretty plain all throughout her writings, right? Satan needs us to be unprepared so he can catch us off guard. This is also why the Bible itself is 33% prophecy. Hardcore prophecy. Most of the Bible is prophetic innuendo, if you will. It speaks on a prophetic tone, as a prophetic base. But 33% of it is just, boom, this is going to happen in the future kind of stuff, right? So to help God's remnant people prepare, this is what our Father has done with, you know, with the prophecy. He's given us that which we needed so that we can be ready. I mean, he did promise to be there for us. Still, some need a quick method to verify the prophecies without having to do years and years worth of studies. Ellen White's writings use scriptures to explain scriptures in prophetic events, just like Jesus did. So, I have asked the Lord to help me on how to best prove her to be an inspired prophet by his Holy Spirit, so others can benefit from her writings that lift up God's word. He gave me this as the basis by which most like to also claim her to be a false prophet, by taking Deuteronomy 18:22 and trying to twist it to make it look like Ellen White's not a prophet, which it says, when a prophet, this is 18:22 of Deuteronomy, it says, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him or her in this matter. And you know what the Bible says, in the last days your daughters shall prophesy. So women can be prophets just as easy as men. So in other words, if that prophet which, if that prophet speaks something that doesn't come to pass, then they are easily exposed as a false prophet. We know of many that not only claim to be prophets today, but have been proven false by their own books or their videos or their tracts. I mean, take Hal Lindsey, for example. He claimed in his book, The Late Great Planet Earth, that the USSR, Russia, would be the empire of Antichrist when the day comes, and that would be it. And I think one of the reasons he did that is because he's got Roman Catholic ties, because the so-called apparition of Mary predicted that Russia would spread her errors around the world and, you know, be used by Satan in a major way. But that nation no longer exists. Okay? Now, their communistic ideals are there in certain areas, as is China's communistic ideals. So, who's to say it's Russia or China? Or even North Korea? So, Lindsay also claimed Jesus would return within 40 years of Israel becoming a nation. Israel became a nation, a sovereign nation, after their six-day war of June 5th, 1967. Well, June 5th through the 10th. It was a six-day war. Counting forward, we see that June of 2007 has come and gone, and Jesus has not yet come back. Still, this man is revered as a true prophet of God the world over, and millions by his books, making him a very, very rich man. Let's take Benny Hinn for another quick example. He stated on television, no less, that all homosexuals the world over would die by fire by the year 1995. Almost 15 years later, we see that not only was he dead wrong, the homosexual community has flourished and have even been allowed to take over certain areas of society thanks to Vatican influences in Congress. One, for more example, would have to be my favorite, Pat Robertson, who has so many failed predictions to his claim that I don't have time to go through them all. But none more famous than one where he argued the world would literally end in 1982. These are just a few of the literally hundreds of proven false prophets this generation has been influenced by, not counting the millions of so-called psychics that lured billions into sin, whether false prophecies or horoscopes or crystal balls or seances or whatever they do. Right? What amazed me of all this was Ellen White never claimed to be a prophet from what I could find. I haven't read all of her writings yet, but so far I haven't seen her as, you know, claiming to be a prophet. Yet all her enemies say that she is a prophet. I mean, some of you have read her writings longer than I have. Did she ever say she was a prophet in her writings? To be honest with you, I really don't know. Because I have yet to find it. So, but she hasn't? Okay. They claim, you know, the anti-Ellen White websites and preachers and stuff, they claimed her to be false, yes, but a prophet nonetheless. Right? So, this is what led me to create that short, Who is Ellen White page on the website. I think it's in the prophecy section. And as many know, I quote her from time to time on my website. However, 99% of the time I use scripture because most of the people that hit the website don't know who she is yet, or they have heard lies about her. So to prevent confusion, I prefer to use mostly scripture when sharing present truth. There are occasions, however, where she does say things so perfectly on certain topics that I'm compelled to place her words on the website. Can't get around it. I do this in the hope that those reading will see her for who she is. Okay? All right. And, you know, however, lately, it has gotten a bit more intense with all the emails and the lying preachers out there that like to act as if they have proof she's false. So I was moved some time back to start logging some of her prophetic statements so as to build a collection of them. Forgive me, I'm still hacking away here, coughing and coughing. No big deal, I'll survive. And so, like I said, I'm building a collection of them because I want to post these prophetic statements of Ellen White online to forever quench the lies. I'm sick of it. And since our website, and I say ours because it's ours, you know, all of us here, gets as many hits as the Lord allows, it should be able to shut up a lot of these naysayers out there. So, but before posting my findings online, I first wanted to share what I found in our humble little church here so as to bless all of you with a collection of facts that you can use to quiet the dissenters you will come across in the days ahead. Because you will. We all will. So I already know the many Ellen White websites are mostly Roman Catholics, and yes, some are owned and operated by the crafty Jesuits themselves. These can be easily proven to be lying by simply copying what they say are her quotes into the official Ellen G. White website or the CD to find out over 80% of her quotes are 100% non-existent. You know, 80% of their quotes that say that she's this or that or she said this or that, those quotes that they put on their website simply do not exist. They are literal fabricated lies. They're just, who wrote them? Who knows? Ellen White didn't write them. And the 20% that are in her writings, you will find they are 100% out of context. So anyone with an Ellen White CD or access to the official Ellen White website can see this as fact. A fact that I am sure Ellen White website repeatedly cringes over. And by the way, when I was a Catholic, I was obviously moved by the Lord to reason together with him without knowing it so as to see the truth about Rome. I was moved to open a Bible and then a history book to see if what they are saying about the church was true. Using this method of investigation is what helped me to discover the truth about the Vatican back then. It's called the study of eschatology, and it's quite enjoyable, I have to say, even though I used to hate reading about history when I was a kid in high school. And all I did was find what the Bible said the beast would do, and then I looked in the historic records to see who did those things. And I got to tell you, it wasn't easy to do that because we didn't have the internet back then. I had to go to the library to do this, which was a lot safer. And now today with the library, and this is why they got the Homeland Security set up to where if you take out certain books in the library, they want to know about it because they hadn't been able to burn all those books yet that had this documented evidence that I found back in the early 80s. All right? I found that 100% of the prophecies that were speaking of the Antichrist in the Christian Bible were fulfilled by Vatican prelates. So I figure that very same method to expose Antichrist can also be used to prove whether or not a prophet is in fact a prophet. That being said, let's have at it. As I said, well, no, I don't think I mentioned this earlier, but I have a page on the website called Keys to a True Prophet. On this page, I share 16 different keys that prophets of the Lord will have as fruits in the way that they live, teach, prophesy, or even experience while, you know, certain things in vision. For example, key number 2 speaks of the fact that the prophets of the Lord will experience visions and or dreams that declare certain events in advance. Numbers 12:6, for example, says, and he said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. Now, as we know, Daniel the prophet was one that had both visions and dreams from the Lord more than once. Daniel 4, verse 13 says, I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. All right? Those of us And by the way, one of those Ellen White websites likes to say that nowhere in the Bible does it speak of a watcher. And then yet here we just saw in Daniel. Because she speaks of a watcher, like the angel that gives her this information. She calls him a watcher too, a holy watcher. And you can't find that in the Bible. But here, we just read Daniel 4:13, right? They assume that the majority of the Christians out there, and they assume correctly, don't read Bibles. They read pastors. They figure if the pastor has this as his duty, this is his duty to do, and so let him search the scriptures daily, I will listen to what he says to see if it's true, rather than opening up their own Bibles. If they opened up their own Bibles, it would be so easy to prove these guys bold-faced liars. And especially these pastors in all these churches. If these people really were Christians, they wouldn't be in those churches. We, the remnant people, would have the largest church on the planet. But, as prophecy says, we have the smallest. Which, by the way, we are listed on Wikipedia for some reason. I remember finding out about that about 6 or 7 months ago, but someone sent me an email this morning. Hey, did you know that the Seventh-day Remnant home churches are mentioned in Wikipedia? I said, well, praise the Lord. So, continuing. Yeah, we are. I don't know who put it there, but it's there. So, going on. Those of us that have read Ellen White's writings are very aware that her writings are filled with all sorts of dreams and visions. Yet, this doesn't make her, or anyone for that matter, a prophet, because many people have dreams and some even claim to have visions. Still, she did have these visions and dreams. This much is true. She has no reservations about admitting this in many of her books. For now, let's use her dreams and visions to find out if, in fact, she has one of the major fruits that are on that my page called 16 Keys of a True Prophet. Let's see if this one major fruit is there for her. We'll get into the other fruits later. And at the same time, it will allow us to squash the naysayer that declares that she never predicted anything accurately. Because that's what a lot of these guys do. So let's take a look at a few of the Ellen White predictions to see if, in fact, they did come true in the exact manner in which she prophesied. All right? This first one I'm getting is from Testimonies for the Church, Volume 7, page 135. And it's right there in box number 3 in the room right there, as is the next one from Pacific Union Recorder. But this first one says, let the diet be progressive. Now, this isn't talking about Martin Luther's diet. This is about your food, okay? For the young, don't catch that. So let the diet reform be progressive. Let the people be taught how to prepare food without the use of milk or butter. Tell them that the time will soon come when there will be no safety in using eggs, milk, cream, or butter, because disease in animals is increasing in proportion to the increase of wickedness among men. The time is near when, because of the iniquity of the fallen race, the whole animal creation will groan under the diseases that curse our earth. Okay, that was Testimonies for the Church, Volume 7, page 135, for those of you on the radio and the phone. The next one is from Pacific Union Recorder, November 7th, 1901, but it was actually, this statement was written in 1898. Okay? She says, there is no safety in eating the flesh of dead animals, and in a short time, the milk of the cows will also be excluded from the diet of God's commandment-keeping people. In a short time, it will not be safe to use anything that comes from the animal creation. Okay? Due to the increase of the love of money in today's society, beef herders realized in the 1980s that feeding ground-up cows back to cows by mixing them into their feed would make their profits double in some areas. It's almost as good as giving in growth hormones, right? This, however, caused what we call today mad cow disease. Okay? Okay, hold on a second here. Simply put, cows were not created to eat cows, okay? Thanks to this practice, much of the beef in the world is simply unsafe to eat for the simple fact that this disease can and does spread to humans by consumption. Worse yet, even the milk of the infected cows have become unsafe, as any doctor will tell you. And I don't trust doctors, but at least they know at least this. And well, a natural doctor will tell you this too. Poisons in the bloodstream always pass into the milk of the animal. This is why doctors will never give certain medications to mommies that are breastfeeding. They know what's in the blood goes in the milk. Therefore, the milk, ice cream especially, butter, and yes, even cheese products can now contain mad cow infection in them. Of course, the disease won't be as concentrated in the milk or the cheese and butter as much as it is in the beef, but the infection is there, and you will be playing Russian roulette as you consume such things, and it's going to mess with your brain, because that's what mad cow does. And they're calling it in humans to hide it, Alzheimer's or Hodgkin's or whatever. Sometimes they actually, they lie. We know they lie. They've been lying for decades, right? So going on, we see that, one more thing, ice cream. Like I was commenting on a second ago. Ice cream is actually far worse, I believe, in my own personal opinion, worse than beef. And I'll tell you why. It takes 10 gallons of milk to make 1 gallon of ice cream. How they do that, I don't know. But that's what they say, because they got to cream it, then they got to really dilute, get all the water, not dilute, but the other way. They get all the water out of it or something. I don't know, but it takes 10 gallons of milk to make 1 gallon of ice cream. So you got 10 times the amount of pus and blood in your ice cream than you do in just drinking a glass of milk. And there's pus and blood in milk. No matter how much you pasteurize it, it's going to be there. Can't get it out. So to make this even more unnerving, it turns out that chicken farmers have been feeding their chickens antibiotics, hormones, and arsenic, as well as keeping their lights on in the chicken coops 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to generate unnatural feeding habits of the birds so as to make them grow larger so they can make more profits when they go for sale. These gluttonous birds now become unsafe to eat. The lack of sleep also causes the birds to become sickly in many, many, many different ways. So again, it's all about money. Still, it's even worse here in the USA, where it's perfectly legal to mix into the chicken feed cooked down cows to make the birds fatter, as well as their eggs larger for sale. Many years ago, I managed a Brown's Chicken restaurant three years after I got married. I was managing a Brown's Chicken restaurant. And back then, the bird sizes were fairly normal, but today, in some grocery stores, and we don't buy meat, but you got to walk by the meat thing sometimes, right? And I've noticed that chicken legs and chicken wings, I mean, these things would make turkeys proud. I mean, these are some big chickens today. It looks to me that just in this one thing alone, that Ellen White got this one 100% correct, hands down. I mean, she predicted both cows and chicken products would become diseased and unfit for food, and we got that in our society. So, well, yeah, we all know. I mean, the media is all about mad cow. So this next prophetic statement she made, and I'm going to get into this one a little bit more so in part two, I think, or three, I don't know, because there's other aspects of this prediction of hers. She declared, preachers near the end of time will declare that natural disasters are the end result of people refusing to attend church on Sunday. All right? In Signs of the Times, January 17th, 1884, she said, men in responsible positions will not only ignore and despise the Sabbath themselves, but from the sacred desk will urge, you know, from the pulpit, will urge upon the people to observe of the first day of the, upon the first, of the people to the observance of the first day of the week, pleading tradition and custom in behalf of this man-made tradition. They will point to calamities on land and sea, to the storms of wind, the floods, the earthquakes, the destruction by fire, as judgments indicating God's displeasure because Sunday is not sacredly observed. Okay. She also said in Great Controversy, pages 589 and 590, it will be declared that men are offending God by the violation of the Sunday Sabbath, that this sin has brought calamities which will not cease until Sunday observance shall be strictly enforced. And those who present the claims of the Fourth Commandment, thus destroying reverence for Sunday, are troublers of the people, preventing their restoration to divine favor and temporal prosperity. In my February 2005 Truth Provided newsletter, I shared an article that was posted shortly after the December 26, 2004 tsunami that killed upwards of 300,000 people at the final count. And the article excerpt I'm going to read was still at about 160,000 dead. Okay? That's why they say 160,000 here instead of 300,000. But this article excerpt is from February 13th, 2005, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, worldnetdaily.com. And, I mean, you could find this all over the planet, but I got it from WorldNet. I got this particular one from WorldNet Daily. And it says, a Christian minister claims, this was a Presbyterian, by the way, a Christian minister claims the tsunami of Sunday, December 26, killing at least 160,000 people, was direct result of pleasure-seekers breaking God's Sabbath. And he's, of course, talking about Sunday. He's Presbyterian. It has to be noted that the wave arrived on the Lord's Day, the day God set apart to be observed the world over as a holy resting from all employments and recreations that are lawful on other days. Okay? So I think her prediction here was pretty dead on as well, except, you know, this Presbyterian, you know, I lost my train of thought there, so sorry. But anyway, this type of announcement is not only going to be repeated, as she's predicting here, but brought to the forefront of the lawmaking process when the Lord uses us in a loud cry that causes millions and hopefully billions to leave the churches of Babylon to embrace the Lord Jesus and his truth. And no, it's not like the Seventh-day Adventist Church is preaching. It isn't the loud cry comes after the Sunday loss. The loud cry is what causes the Sunday loss because they're trying to shut us up. When the masses leave those churches due to the loud cry message, those pastors will use their government-given powers as of March 7, 2006, I can't remember. It's on my Image of the Beast page in the prophecy section. But they were going to be use their government-given powers to lobby Sunday laws to try and stop the truth from spreading. No, they won't be so concerned about us being right about the Sabbath as much as they will be concerned the truth is causing their congregants to leave their churches, which in turn threatens their income generated by their donations. Money has always been the carrot Satan used with these false preachers to do the things they do. This is why they've got the 501c3. Money is more important to them than anything else. The 501c3 affords them tax-free ability to buy, go into Walmart, buy things. All right? They're already, their income tax is already tax-free. They also want to save a few measly pennies on, like when you buy a pack of gum, if they buy gum. I don't, but if they do. You know, they save a couple cents because they have a tax ID number. They went to seminary to be able to learn how to become preachers so as to make massive amounts of monies with their stadium-sized churches. It's as scriptures warned regarding these men. When a man of God follows after the money rather than the flock God has placed in his care, he becomes the hireling Jesus spoke of that is easily swayed by Satan to protect the money over the people. And by the way, what the tsunami article didn't disclose, nor can I find it on any of the websites that do so, many of the people that died in that tsunami, well, it depends on what type of gum you're buying, I don't care. But, yeah, sugarless gum is bad because it's got that poison. And sugar, I wouldn't advise it. It's not good for your teeth. Chewing on it over and over and over again on your teeth. But anyway, were you aware that many of the people that died in the tsunami were, in fact, in, it happened at a specific time of the day where they were in church for worship on Sunday when they were swept into their graves. There used to be emails and reports online about this on a fundraising website for that area, but as expected, those websites have been deleted. So please don't ask me to share my source on this fact. It's no longer available as far as I can see. Yes, I should have copied them to my site before they deleted them, but why did they delete them? Well, it's obvious. They want to keep the idea that people should be in church on Sunday to prevent further problems. If they allowed those reports to be noticed online, it would make them look like hypocrites when they say you need to be in church on Sunday to be safe. Those people die in church during their Catholic Mass on Sunday. So what he said in the article is just obviously proven a bold-faced lie. If you're supposed to go to church on Sunday, then why a bunch of Sunday keepers just die? Soon, even this will be shouted from the rooftops. And yes, Ellen White was bluntly correct on this prophetic statement as well. So continuing. This next prediction is also as blunt in nature as the previous. Some may even go, maybe it's a little bit more so, okay? Sister White not only predicted two world wars in the near future, she predicted a short gap of peace between them as well. All right? Again, you won't find this kind of stuff on anti-Ellen White websites. All right? This is from Review and Herald, August 27th, 1861, paragraph 13 and 14. She said, "I was shown the inhabitants of the earth in the utmost confusion. There was war, bloodshed, want, privation, famine, and pestilence in the land. And as these things were without, God's people began to press together and cast aside their little difficulties." This is another reason that gets the people, the Christians, to knock it off, quit button heads like the apostles did for those 10 days. Okay, this is needed, this kind of stuff, sometimes. And the Lord's going to protect his people. So when they see this happening all around them, it might wake some up and shake some up. So, she says, self-dignity no longer controlled them. Deep humility took its place. Suffering, perplexity, and privation caused reason to resume its throne, and the passionate and unreasonable man became sane and acted with discretion and wisdom. My attention was then called from the scene. There seemed to be a little time of peace. Then the inhabitants of the earth were again presented before me, and everything was in the utmost confusion again. Strife, war, and bloodshed with famine and pestilence raged everywhere. Other nations were engaged in this confusion and war. War caused famine. Want and bloodshed caused pestilence. And then men's hearts will fail them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Okay? Now, documented facts. You can go to any encyclopedia online if you want to check this out. But World War I started June 28th, 1914 to November 11th, 1918. Then you have a little time of peace for 20 years, 9 months, and 21 days. Then you got World War II started September 1st, 1939 and ended September 2nd, 1945. So as is obvious, she's predicting two world wars here with a little time of peace in between them. World War I from 1914 to 1918. And just so you know, she made that prediction in 1861. Okay, we all know she was alive in 1914. So she didn't make this prediction in 1914. She made it in 1861. She died in 1915. After 1918, the war ended, of course, and there was a period of peace. But it only lasted until 1939 when the World War II came along and killed so many souls. That war lasted until 1945, as you just learned, and it caused it to be the bloodiest conflict in history, according to the 1999 Encyclopedia Britannica. That encyclopedia article also stated that war-induced disease and famine exceeded battle casualties. I wasn't going to list all the battle casualties because I didn't want to bother with that. If people want to go and look that up, they can. But a lot of people died in that war, but even more so died because of this famine and disease and stuff. So this also proves the undeniable accuracy of this prophet of the Lord. As far as I can see here, she predicted a war, famine, and pestilence, as well as a short time of peace, and then another war directly afterwards with the exact same results. Again, she got this one dead on only because she is a prophet speaking for our Lord God, who does in fact know the end from the beginning. All right? Now this next one is the last one I'm going to share today. And it actually connects with this previous one. To further add to the validation of that prophetic statement she made regarding World War II, Sister White also spoke of a weapon that was to be used in that war that was not yet invented in 1861. Or no, 1906, actually. She makes this comment. But it was later used in World War II. Okay? She's, and this is from Manuscript Releases, Volume 11, page 361. She says, "In the night I was, I thought, in a room, but not in my house. I was in a city where I knew not, and I heard expression after expression. I rose up quickly in bed and saw from my window large balls of fire. Jetting out were sparks in the form of arrows, and buildings were being consumed. And in a very few minutes, the entire block of buildings was falling, and the screeching and mournful groans came distinctly to my ears. Okay, so she somehow was, the Lord allowed her to see, be there right on the street when a neighborhood in Paris or wherever was getting attacked by the Nazis, or us, you know, because we were involved in that war. So, now this next one is from letter 278 from 1906. It's also in Evangelism, page 29. She says, last Friday morning, just before I awoke, a very impressive scene was presented before me. I seemed to awake from sleep, but was not in my home. From the windows, I could behold a terrible conflagration. Great balls of fire were falling upon houses, and from these balls, fiery arrows were flying in every direction. It was impossible to check the fires that were kindled, and in many places were destroyed. The terror of the people was indescribable. After a time, I awoke and found myself at home. As we all know, the methods used in World War II were usually done in the cities, where, of course, many private homes would be. They did this because they wanted to inflict as much damage to the infrastructure as possible so as to strain their resources as well as kill their citizens in the process, which in turn places intense pressure upon the leaders to surrender. Today, war is a little bit different in its hidden agenda, like what they're doing here in the States or in other countries like in the European Union. They don't want to destroy the infrastructure because they don't want to have to spend the money to repair it, so they try a different method of war now. Unless, of course, you think about Afghanistan or Iraq, where they just obliterated as best they could. But they were careful not to destroy certain situations or certain infrastructures. They invented, back in World War II, what was called a dumb or unitary bomb, which is, in fact, still used to this day. Of course, it's got modern improvements on it. And notice the description of these bombs by an online specialist of military weapons. And I forgot to put the source. I got the source in here. It's a link. Let me see if I can get the link to show. It's from vectorsite.net. Vector. You know, V-E-C-T-O-R site.net. All one word. All right, it says, this is what it says. Modern fragmentation bombs are generally in the form of a cluster bomb, submunitions, of cluster bomb submunitions, and may consist of grenade-like balls encased in plastic impregnated with ball bearings. Combined effects submunitions that incorporate splintering cases along with anti-armor and incendiary effects, or submunitions that blast out of a cloud of small metal darts known as flechés, or French for little arrow. Sister White said, these bombs would fall upon houses and spew fiery arrows that would kindle fires in all directions. I was doing some research on methods of detonation on some websites to see if some of these were ignited before they hit the ground, and yes, that same website I just quoted said some of the bombs were fitted with an electronic fuse based on a timer circuit to further enhance their destruction. Some of these bombs contained napalm, magnesium, thermite, and other very flammable materials as part of their payload, further confirming the fireballs Sister White saw in the vision. So there you have it. And the fact that she called, that she said little arrows, I mean, the description, the modern day description, the 2009 description of these bombs has to do with little arrows. And in her vision, she saw little arrows. So, Lord willing, next Sabbath, I will share a few more prophecies to confirm her as a prophet. As for now, I hope and pray that you were blessed by what you heard the Sabbath day. On the roll is Hall of Yonder, number 463. I don't know. Let's see if I can get this going in the room here. 463, I think I went a little too far there. I don't know, I didn't do that. Somebody put the help page in the room. And everybody knows I don't ask for tithings or love offerings. But if the Lord moves you, thank you for it.
because it is your duty. Yes, Lord. Okay, let's see. 463. Is it here? No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's 559. Okay. You put it in the room. There you go.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the road is called up yonder, when the road is called up yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when the chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the road is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the road is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us linger for the Master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
If you can kneel. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with this opportunity to share with many, even in the future, because we have this recording that's going to go on the site, the proof that Ellen White is a prophet. And thank you for blessing us with in the following Sabbaths to be able to share this continually. Until we're done with the series, because people need her writings, because she points, like a prophet always does, people back into the scriptures. And that's where we find our means by which to get ready. And we need to get ready. And there's going to be fearful times, Father, ahead of us, but we have not been given a spirit of fear, so we claim that promise that you have given us there, that we won't be fearful. So thank you for giving us the courage. We need to stand firm. And thank you also for being merciful for those of us that can't handle these days ahead, but yet are still heaven-bound. So thank you for letting us go to sleep in however way you see fit, because we understand the prophecy there too, that many of the children of God will go to sleep before this day comes. Whether it be by martyrdom or some strange disease or sleeping, you know, falling asleep in their nightly, in their bed when they're going at night, when they're sleeping. So thank you, Father, for blessing us where we need to be blessed. We pray for all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that don't realize how close we are. And thank you for giving us an opportunity to share with them and having the proper words that'll cut the heart. Thank you for blessing our methods. Father, bless our wisdom, our faith, and our discernment. There are many things that we need to do. At this point, we don't have the means by which to do those things, whether it be physical, spiritual, or even financial means. Your people must learn to work together. And so thank you for blessing them to make them realize we've got to get busy. Open their eyes and open their hearts. Let us take part in this loud cry, Father. And thank you for trusting us with such an amazing task as this. In Jesus' name. Amen.